I am not wearing a boot today to gain sympathy. I was in Stauffus Meats yesterday, and I met a Navy personnel, and I looked at him, and I said, Navy veteran? And he said, yes. And he looked at me and said, Army. And I said, of course, I have Army in my hat. And I said, yes, but I'm not wearing the boot because of the Army. February 4th, I chose to break my ankle. Actually, let me rephrase that. You know, Psalm 37 in verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I thought, did I have to be a good man to receive a broken ankle on that day? Or did the Lord want to break my ankle on that day, despite the fact that I might have been a good man? Nevertheless, I wear the boot. Hopefully this Thursday will be a day of rejoicing where I can finally get rid of the boot. This morning I woke up, actually it was last night, wasn't it, Lujean? That last night, and then this morning I woke up, my other ankle was hurting, and I said, no, 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 no. One is enough. So my wife's name is Lujean, and she has been taking care of me through these past few months, as I was taking care of her since last October when she had her surgery. And we would travel by here all the time, going to Hershey Medical. So I was thinking, I thought I preached here once before. I think I did, but I wasn't sure. And it's been a while. And then when I heard Pastor Andy's voice this morning, yes, I did. I sure did. I remember a while back that I preached here. Do you remember what I preached on? No? Yes? I think it was 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 and 12. I think. My memory is not the best anymore. I have to keep working at remembering things. But I think that was the passage that I preached on, where David praised his God for his greatness, for his power, for his glory, for his victory, and for his majesty. Everything in heaven, everything in earth belongs to him. He and his kingdom are together because his kingdom belongs to him. He is exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor are of him. He reigneth over all. In his hand is power and might. In his hand it is to make great. He gives strength unto all. Thus David praised him for who he is and what he was seeking to accomplish in the congregation of the righteous. We have a great God. Amen? And despite all that is going on around us, and despite where it might go before us, and even though the president is who he is, Jesus is king. Jesus is king. And this is his kingdom. And he is exalted as head over all. And I am so thankful for the gospel message, the good news, that Jesus, who is king, died on the cross for our sin, was buried the third day, and rose again that same third day, so that you and I can have life eternal. Amen? And as John 1:12 says, as many as received him and believe on him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Amen? So I hope and I pray that today, as I look out at you and you look at me, we are indeed sons of God because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And that one day he's going to take us home. And oh, what glory that will be, as we will be able to see him face to face. My journey for the last 3 years has been quite interesting. I decided to start with pneumonia for the first time ever in my life, 3 times that year. And the third time, the doctor had to double dose the medicine to knock me out of the pneumonia process. And then I decided that I wanted to suffer a visionary stroke. That was in January 2. And I think that was the second or third year. And that was amazing. That was scary, but it was an amazing journey. That was on January 23rd of 2019. And, or 2020, that was last year. Yeah, last year. Hard to keep these things in mind. And had it not been for God's hand on me, I would have been blinded on January 23rd because of the visionary stroke. And all due to a little mustard seed size blood clot that sat between the main artery in the back and the canal that went up to the vision. A little tiny, you could hardly see it. And the neurologist told me that what happened was after the MRI, the blood clot must have dissolved. And I said, well, I can tell you who did that. God did that one. And he said, we have an amazing brain. It's so intricate, so fashioned. And I thought, wow, what did we hear this morning? We are fashioned, aren't we? To the tiniest little thing that is in your body. God not only made you, but he fashioned you after his image. That little seed, and I have eyesight today. And I am so thankful for my eyesight today. And then I decided to go ahead and have the flu after that. It wasn't enough. I had to have the flu after that, and I thought I was going to die during that flu. And I looked back and I thought, 5 of the 7 COVID-19. I can't breathe. I lost that in the military. And I still, and then I got to thinking, you know, my oldest member in my last church, Sally Cadwell, said, you know, once you reach 50, it's all downhill. And I thought, well, I did well when I was 50 to 60, but then when I turned 60, everything started to go downhill physically. And I thought, what is going on here? So anyways, I was thankful for the pandemic, if that's what you want to call it. I was thankful for the pandemic because the school shut down, and I thought, whoa. But for 11 months, I was safe. I had my safety place to go to every day for work. And then this January came around, and then my birthday was coming up, and then February 4th came around, and then I broke my ankle. I thought, what am I starting, a tradition here? But you know, in and through all of that, I have been humbled in a way that I have never been humbled before in my life. And there are 3 things that I pray about every morning, I think mostly as a reminder to me that I do have a great God, a powerful God, a glorious God, a victorious God, a majestic God. God, my Father, takes care of me, his child. And the first thing that I remember every day in my praying is that God loves me. I need to remember that God loves me. Because, you know, the spiritual enemies, and that's what I think we're dealing with here in this whole thing out here, is that it's a spiritual battle. It's God versus Satan, and Satan versus God. Because the first thing that's out there that's trying to change our minds about who God is Satan. Because the number one attack of Satan is your mind, is your thought process, the way you think. And the one thing that he wants you to understand and to know is that You don't need God. Who is God? Why do you need God? After all, you have all the politicians. Ooh, that's a thought. And then he not only wants to work on your thinking process, but he wants to get you to doubt. That's his number one attack, is to get you to doubt who he is. First of all, to doubt the fact that there is a God. Secondly, to cause doubt in your mind as to who he is. And thirdly, he wants you to realize you don't need him. And I always go back to 1 John chapter 3, if you take your Bibles there. 1 John chapter 3. I use this passage to remind me on a daily basis because I know the devil is going to attack me again today. And I want to remind myself that as imperfect as I am, the fact that I can sin against my God, to know, as the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if I'm not walking in the Spirit, then I will fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm not perfect. I will sin. But I know that God, my Father, loves me. And that's what it says in 1 John chapter 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. He has lavished his love upon us. You cannot, as a child of God, not know that God loves you. Because for the most part, I think most of us, if not all of us, began with John chapter 3 and verse 16, did we not? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think for the most part, we started with that wonderful verse. And I have always been told to take out the world and put my name in there. For God so loved Gary Foles that he gave his only begotten Son, that as Gary Foles believes on him, he should not perish but have everlasting life. And then it continues with the fact that God loves. I mean, how many times have we read in the scriptures that God loves you? And so there's that fight every day. Satan doesn't want you to know, believe, or even have confidence in the fact that God loves you. And so he will battle you every day for your mind. And many times he will use people to do it. I've had many people come up to me and they say, well, there is no God. I thought, well, how do you know that? I even had a fifth grader a couple of years ago. I work at Washington Elementary School in Lancaster, PA, grades K-4 through the fifth grade. And I had a fifth grader at lunchtime come up to me and he said, Mr. Gary, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. What about this Big Bang Theory? I thought, what grade are you in? He says, I'm in fifth grade. I said, you're being taught the fifth grade? I mean, you're being taught the Big Bang Theory? Well, yeah, it's in our textbooks. I said, what? So what is it that you want to know about the Big Bang Theory? He says, do you believe in it? Well, I want to know, first of all, do you believe in it? And he says, well, I don't know. I'm having a hard time figuring this out. And I said, well, make that two of us. And I said, son, I said, listen, it will take more faith for you to believe in the Big Bang Theory than it will believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And know this too. The devil doesn't want you to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. He wants you to believe in the Big Bang Theory because he wants your mind. He wants your thinking process. He wants you not to believe that there is a God of the universe. He said, thanks, Mr. Gary. I feel so much better now. And I said, well, why do you feel better? Because I don't believe in the Big Bang Theory, he says. And I said, good for you. You would not believe some of the questions that come out of these fifth graders, fourth graders, third graders. I even had a second grader come up to me, and she said, Mr. Gary, would you marry me? And I thought, ooh. I went home and told my wife, and she asked, well, how did you answer her? And I said, well, I do have a ring on. I'm already oh, man. She walks away. But you know, God is in the battle against the devil. And he doesn't want the devil to take your mind. God wants you to know that he loves you. He lavishes his love upon you, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Remember, it also tells us in John that Jesus came unto his own, and what did his own not do? Believed on him. The world doesn't know God. The politicians say you don't need God, you have us. But I would rather have God in the midst of it all. Because God created the heavens and the earth, as far as I read in my Bible. I was even told, I even read articles where they're thinking about taking away your Bible because it's very offensive. I'm going to offend you today because of the Bible. The truth of the Bible does offend people. But the truth of the Bible is as it is. It's God's word. And God said, he created the heavens and the earth. God said, he wonderfully and fearfully made you all. God said, he is the one that saves you, and God is the one that loves you. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear that we shall what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Promise. God promises. We shall see him as he is. Oh, what a blessing that will be. What a glorious day that will be when Jesus we shall see. And all this battle that's going on, God will show you that he was victorious right from the beginning. Satan has no place. The devil is in a lockdown. He will not win. But you and I, as believers in Christ, you and I, as parents and grandparents, need to remind our children that God loves you because he said so. And as he loves you, he lavishes that love to you. He gave you his only begotten Son, that as you believe on him, you will never perish, but you will have everlasting life. But be assured, Satan does not believe that. And he will be after your mind every day. And if he can cast doubt in your mind to make you doubt that there is a God, he's got a good hold on you. Don't let him be victorious. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Or as, again, the Bible says, if you say no to Satan, and I mean, if you say no to Satan, he will flee from you. And you can be victorious on a daily basis. The number one attack of the devil on your mind, on your thinking process, is doubt. To doubt what God says about himself. God the Father loves you. And then in that prayer time in the morning when I travel to work and every morning, I always go to 1 Peter and chapter 5. And I remember these words from 1 Peter chapter 5, that he careth for you. And I thought, yeah, he does care for me. I mean, I could have broken both ankles. I mean, I could have been blind on January 22nd, 2020. I could have died from pneumonia. He cares for me. He cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 says that he cares for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he does what? He careth for you. Number one definition to the word care is to give attention to. God gives attention to his sons, to his children. Do we always pay attention to him? Do you husbands always pay attention to your wife? Wives, do you always pay attention to your husband? Children, do you always pay attention to your parents? Parents, do you always pay attention to your children? Do we always pay attention to our God? Or do we get so busy during the day that he disappears? But do not be fooled. God does not disappear. He is always there. He is always there. He is always there. And he always cares for you because he's always giving you attention. He knows your every need. If he can take care of the sparrows, do you remember Matthew chapter 6? That God even takes care of the sparrows that fall to the ground? He knows every single one of them. He probably knows every little insect creature that I kill in the school. But I remind my God that I have to do it because it's my job. You know, those little centipedes that run across the hallway? The pandemic was really something else. The school was shut down, and I think it was about third or fourth month into it. And I was walking down the hallway one day, and I thought, man, it's quiet in here. There's no students, there's no staff, there's no teachers, there's no nothing. It's quiet in here. And I looked down and I thought, except for one little centipede crossing, look at that. I took pictures. I didn't even kill the dumb thing. But he ran across the hallway like he owns the place. And I thought, wow, he's quiet too. God cares for you. He gives every creature that he has made his attention. And he gives you the ultimate attention because you are his son, his child. The one that he not only created, but the one that he also loves. And you can count on the fact that God will always care for you. We have to humble ourselves and remember that. We have to make sure that we are filled with humility. And believe me, after all that has transpired in these last few years, I'm hoping, I am really praying that I am humbled because I surely don't want to go through any more. I even told my wife, I wonder what's going to happen next year. She said, oh, don't say that. And I said, that's true. But the next thing I have to go to is the Veterans Administration. And I finally got that right, Lou, not the vets, the Veterans Administration. And I have to get my hearing taken care of because my wife has a hard time. I mean, I have a hard time hearing my wife. I have a hard time hearing what people are saying unless I look at them. And now with people wearing masks, I have a really, really difficult time because I can't even read their lips. So I have to go and take care of my hearing. That's my next project. My wife might have to take care of her knee. That might have to be the next project. And I thought, oh my goodness, what have we started here? But God will take care of us. God will take care of you because he's giving you his constant attention. And one of the things that I remember from my college years, Dr. Friedlie Loescher and chapel, every chapel, he always made us sing, all your anxiety, all your care, Bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. And I sing that to remind myself on a daily basis that God will care for me today. I never realized how true that was on the day that I broke my ankle. I went outside onto the dock area. I took a bag almost empty of salt to salt down the ice that was on the dock. And then the bag was empty, so I decided to throw the bag into the dumpster. The wind decided to blow the dump bag out. And so I went to reach for the bag, and guess what happened? I laid there. I was not in pain. But I laid there, and I said, I think I broke something. And I tried to get up, and I couldn't get up. The kitchen manager, Betsy, she came running out. No, Mr. Gary, no. Don't move. Okay, fine. I can't move. Are you okay? I think I broke something. Oh, don't move then. Don't move. And it happened to be, I'll tell you, I can tell you that God cares because just at that time that my supervisor got out of the truck and wondered what was going on. Now, how can that happen unless God cares for you? There are no accidents in a Christian's life, only that which God ordains him to face. Remember, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when you look at what happens to you, whatever it is that you face, you can always go back to the thinking process and say, you know, God cares for me. He's giving me attention. He planned this for me. I may not understand the fullness of that plan, but I know that I'm in good care. God will see me through. Like my grandmother used to say, this too soon will pass. Here it is, yeah, going on almost on the 18th of March. I thought it was not going to pass. This dumb boot weighs like a ton. I mean, I feel like I'm dragging it now, you know. And it's only at home that my foot finds freedom to be out of a boot. I already got rid of the crutches. That was long gone. How many of you tried crutches before? They're a crutch, aren't they? My goodness. So I finally got rid of the crutches, and now I get to get rid of the boot, hopefully come this Thursday. In and through it all, God gives me the attention that I need to remind me, Gary Foles, of his care, of his love. One more thing. If you take your Bibles and you go to Philippians chapter 4. And you look at chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. You will read these words. Be careful or be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Never try to answer why, because you never get the answer. Just give it over to him and know that he will simply give you peace. And I'll tell you about the peace in just a second. Which will pass all understanding, and that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That will keep your what, folks? It will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, that tranquility, that calmness, to know that God is in control. Nothing can happen to you lest God ordains it to be. Nothing will happen to you lest God says so. My wife and I went to the bakery a week ago Friday, and we pulled in the parking lot, and I said, you know what, I want to come in too. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. And she started opening her door to get out, and then I opened my door. A car hit it. I thought, are we serious? And of course, I had my foot on the railing. Had I had my foot outside the railing, who knows what would have happened. But that car hit my door, and I thought, I wonder if my door is okay. So I got out of the car, and I went around my door, because she backed up, and I went around the door, and she came out, and her name is Holly, and she said, are you okay? And I said, yes, I'm okay. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. And it was just like that peace. And God was in control of this whole thing. And she says, she told me she thought I was going to have to replace my door. And I thought, oh, no, don't say that. I don't want to replace my door. It's a Volkswagen. All I had was a little bent up on the lower right-hand corner, just a little bent up. My door opened and closed just fine. She had more damage to her car than I had on mine. And but she was very gracious. And of course, I said, I don't think I'm going to fix my car through the insurance company. It'll cost me more money than for me to fix my car. And sure enough, I mean, Lugene said they had a rubber mallet at her place of work. And so I took the rubber mallet, 1, 2, 3, and oh, wow, wouldn't even know. Wow, that's great. Talked to our workman's comp, and everything worked out okay. Wow, God is in control. You never have to worry. You never have to worry. Why do we worry about things? Did you know that worry is the opposite of trust? Worry is slapping God in the face. Every time you worry, you slap God in the face. He can control anything and everything. He can take care of anything. Nothing is too big for our God. Isn't that what we teach our children? Nothing's too big for our God. He can handle everything. If he fashioned you, and all the intricacies are seen in Psalm 139, the innermost parts of my body, even before I was born, then why would he not be able to handle anything that comes along in my life? He's a great God. He loves you, he cares for you, and he will give you peace that passes all understanding. He is the one that answers the question why. How many of you know English grammar? English grammar. Not American slang. English grammar. Do you remember the W's? Who, what, when, where, why, and of course one H, how. Which one do we always ask first? Why? Why this? Why that? Why am I getting a stimulus check? Eugene, did you check the bank account this morning? That stimulus check is gone before I even get it. The bills are already going to be paid for. Wait a minute, they were going to be paid for before the stimulus check. God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. He gives your children the same. Wives, he gives you the same. Husbands, he gives you the same. Fathers, he gives you the same. Mothers, he gives you the same. Grandparents, the same. He will give you his peace, and that peace will pass all human understanding. And you never have to ask why. You should always do the first one in the English grammar. Who is in control? Once you answer that, all the W's are answered, as well as the H. How does God do it? He's God. He's sovereign. Everything is providence, and it's all for his glory, that he be honored and glorified. And all that we say and in all that we do. All my anxiety, all my care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you today.